Los Angeles is such a world unto itself in terms of the media there. And I'll tell you how powerful the media is, which I never knew until I was in L.A. I'd been there not that long, 6 weeks, 2 months tops probably, and was assigned to go out to Bob Hope's house. I've forgotten where he lives, someplace out in the valley, San Fernando Valley. He was having a news conference about something. So we go out there, and at any Los Angeles grade A news conference, there are going to be 15 cameras at least, sometimes 20, 25, if you count all the network people and all of the local people and some bozos in there because nobody checks. God knows how many microphones are up there. So we're having this news conference, and I'm sitting back behind the cameras like I always do, and Hope finishes his thing, opens it up for questions, and I have a question. I said, "Mr. Hope, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, what do you think?" And he said, "Well, Clayton, whoa." And then I realized that I was his local news guy. He knew my name because I was on television. I was just simply stunned at that. Mm-hmm. And I've never been able to deal with the celebrity part, even at the local level, very well. I've never been comfortable with it. I'm always reminded of Boorstin, the great historian who became the Librarian of Congress, won a Pulitzer for history, saying that part of the culture in the United States is being a celebrity simply for being famous. Famous for what? What have you accomplished? What have you done? My skill set, my toolkit's not very large, but that's one I don't have, is how to deal with that when people think that that's somehow special. When your children think that that's somehow special, that's really scary.
You came back to Tulsa in 71?
Yeah, just after Nancy and I got married. We got married in her family's backyard in Hollywood. She went to Hollywood High School. She was a pom-pom girl at Hollywood High School. And went to school with Barbara Hershey and a couple of second-rate movie stars, that sort of thing. Learned to dance at Lana Turner's house because one of her friends was Lana Turner's daughter or something. Strange Hollywood upbringing, but she came out of it all right. You know, she graduated from SC, which is no small chops. The only thing she knew about Oklahoma was that it was someplace before you get to New York, if you're from California. I was obviously not going to rise any further. I was in no danger of losing the job at KABC, but I wouldn't have become one of their mainline people. I mean, that just wasn't in the cards somehow. So KOTV called and said that they were in trouble because they hadn't been able to adequately replace me with anybody who was willing, probably, to do what I was doing. And would I come back? I could do anything I wanted. And I said, "Well, how about an hour at 6? That had never been done. And they said, "Sure." So I came back. There were 12 people in the newsroom. I was the 13th when we started that hour in 1971. And it went on for 5 years. If there ever was a golden age for KOTV, maybe for Tulsa television, that was it.
71 to 76, you did that. So your idea for this, was this format being used in Los Angeles? You had seen it?
Or? Oh, in Los Angeles, they start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they don't end until 7. So hour-long newscasts in Los Angeles don't mean anything. KABC, I think, started at 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon and went until 6:30, something like that. So that was 2 hours. And there were some independents that went for 3. So long form like that was not unusual in Los Angeles. It was a little less unusual in New York, but once you get outside of either of those places, you didn't see it anywhere. But I thought it would be fun and challenging, and I was so young and unknowledgeable that I didn't know any better that you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff. So we went ahead and did it, and we did long-form news stories, which led to things like what Bob Brown started. I remember he went 13 minutes one time on a maple syrup operation someplace here in northeast Oklahoma. And we did Chug Hole of the Week, which was a thing where you memorialized some pothole that was in the streets, because potholes in the streets were kind of a big issue at the time. The very first one of those was done when the station still had a grand piano, and I had some piano moving people come in and pick it up and take it out to a street intersection, someplace on the near north side, don't remember where exactly. It happened to be the first day of spring, so I hired a TU music major, rented him a white tie tux tails outfit, and had him play Mendelssohn's Spring Song. God, it was good. But it was just one of those no-holds-barred, anything-goes, but serious. We were really serious about doing the whole thing. And we weren't afraid of not looking like TV, you know, with all the fancy gewgaws and all that kind of stuff. Tape was just coming in, which was making the delivery system a little faster, but we didn't have a whole lot of the essentially live equipment that is now the standard. But it was a wonderful time. Developed some close, long-lasting friendships by it, because, you know, you work all day with the same people, and the same people come over to your house at night, or you go to theirs or something, and all the spouses and girlfriends and significant others knew one another and knew all the history and all the kids and all that kind of stuff. And it was just a remarkable, remarkable thing to be involved in.
And Channel 6 was the only one doing that in Tulsa.
Yeah, yeah.
And your ratings?
In Oklahoma or Kansas or New Mexico or Texas or any place else that I knew of outside of Los Angeles and New York. Ratings real good for the first half hour. Second half hour fell off a little bit, but not so much that you'd notice.
Did you have Network News incorporated into that?
No, ran it before. Ran Network News at 5:30. So Cronkite would come on at 5:30, and I'd do the 6 o'clock. I did it as a single. We did about 2 minutes of sports, because I didn't like sports. Didn't think that we needed anything other than the scores. We only did the weather at length so that we could have a platform for Woody to screw around, you know, show off, have fun if he wanted to.
I'm certain, though, there were times when weather was critical, and so that hour served it well.
There are times in the broadcast and print journalism business in which, let's take sports because that's the easiest example, but the same thing happens with weather. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But when a sports story stops becoming just a sports story and becomes a general news story, there are times in the weather when the weather stops being just current conditions and forecast to a general news story. Tornado, for example. In sports, it would be the World Series, something like that. The whole Tiger Woods thing would have been general news. That wouldn't have been handled by a sports guy. So if you're talking about only those stories that meet that threshold, then yeah, sure, we covered those. We covered those as news stories. And sports guy didn't have any business doing that. I mean, what does he know? I mean, he just knows that Konjanki plays second base for the Dodgers or something.
Right. Do you remember names? You said it was a good time and there were people perhaps that cut their teeth and you brought them on that are still around. The public might know of some of these people.
Dino Economos, but he's not in the business anymore. Rocky Stegman, he's died about 5 or 10 years ago. Pitcock has passed away. Krieger has passed away. Boy, it's tough when you're 75, John. You start losing them. Glenda Silvey. Yep. So I hired Glenda for her first TV job. Got one of the great voices in Tulsa. And she's a wonderful person. She's still around. She stayed for a long, long time after I left. Eventually saw the light and got out of the business.